كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء فجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجعت
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Inshallah, we're going to start tonight's program with recitation of the Holy Quran by Brother Ali Abbas. Salu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل إلى فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Ahsan, Jazakallah, Brother Ali Abbas. Just a couple of quick announcements before we invite Sheikh to the member. The first is that there will be no program next week, but inshallah, we are going to be announcing the dates and times for the Fatimiyah program, which will be coming within the next 2 weeks, inshallah. Also, you may have noticed when you came in, but alhamdulillah, as a follow-up from our previous announcement, they have started the bathroom construction in the back. They're going to be doing some plumbing and then also some work within the next few weeks to the next month, inshallah. So you may notice a little bit more dust in the back room, but we did want to give an update because obviously as well with the community support, we were able to get the project started. So with that, inshallah, I would like to invite Sheikh with Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It feels like it's been quite a while since I've had the tawfiq of addressing our Hadi family here. It doesn't mean I haven't been remembering everyone. I've been praying for our entire Hadi family, especially our extended Hadi family. Everybody's not here, but our extended Hadi family. And I do ask you also, inshallah, for du'as. Today's reminder, brothers and sisters, is first and foremost for myself. I want to remind myself. If it seems like I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters, then that's what it seems like. But ideally, I want to be benefiting myself. Actually, that is one of the conditions for an akhlaqi to reminder, to have the effect that it's supposed to have. Actually, they tell us that the listener has a responsibility. The responsibility of the listener, if we want to really benefit from an akhlaqi reminder, is this, that I think these words are for me, not for anybody else. That I'm glad you heard that. You know, nudge, nudge. Actually, I'm focused on myself. I'm asking Allah for guidance. If I hear any reminder, then it's something that I need to hear and I want to implement. I'll share the hadith that is behind this. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, طُوبَى لِمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَيْبُهُ عَنْ عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ. Blessed is that man or woman who is distracted from the flaws of others by their own flaws. If I hear anything, my focus is me. Other people, they hear it, that's good, that's for them. But not that I want somebody else to hear. It's really important for us when it comes to self-development. Once there was a situation where a family went to a sheikh for counseling. They went to the sheikh for counseling, they spent over an hour sitting, talking, explaining, sharing, what's wrong, what's right. They came up with a list. This is what happens, this is what needs to happen, this is what needs to happen. The sheikh left the room. When the sheikh left the room, one spouse turned to the other spouse and said, whenever you do everything that's on your list, I'll start on mine. Right? The opposite. Imam Ali taught us, طُوبَى لِمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَيْبُهُ. His own flaw makes him distracted. Other people are doing so many things. I'm looking, what does Allah want from me? Now, I was listening to a speech by a very good sheikh. This scholar is one of those scholars who has a lot of experience in the field. It's different than being purely a Hausa academic. Sometimes somebody's a Hausa academic, and alhamdulillah, Allah bless them for that. We have great need for those academics, those Hausa academics, those giants when it comes to knowledge. But this man was a little different. He had spent over 20 years, this man, he spent over 20 years in the field where he's meeting with mu'mineen, talking to believers, talking to families, figuring out problems, Islamic solutions, right? Somebody in the field. Based on his study, he came away with some really important conclusions. He was making a public address, and he was sharing this. He said that sometimes I'm asked by a young couple who's about to begin their life. So there's some young people coming to the sheikh, so experienced, he's a prolific writer. They're coming to him, and they need some pointers. If we want to start our life right, what are some of the things that we should do? Out of all of his experience, all of the books he's written, he came up with 5 points. He said, if these 5 points are there, if they're there from the beginning of a marriage, for instance, right? If a family has these, because it's not only husband and wife, you'll hear, or you'll, we'll, inshallah, we'll come to this conclusion once we hear the actual advice. I might be a sibling. I might be the child. I might be a parent. I might be a husband. I might be a wife. I might be a believer who's interacting with other believers. As a group, we consider ourselves a family, right? We're an ummah. He said that if people who are interacting with others can have these 5 traits, 70% of the problems that other people experience, these people will never have to experience. 70%. 20 years of research. 70%. So he said, I'm not denying that there are other things outside there that also are important, but these, he called them arkan, pillars, when it comes to life. And the example he used was one that's similar to the arkan in salah. In salah, they tell us we have wajibat, must do the wajibat, I must do the wajibat, but we also have arkan, rukn. The thing that they tell us about rukn is this, if you miss a rukn, whether it's a mistake, I forgot, I wasn't trying, that doesn't make any difference. The salah is batil. A rukun is different. Wajib is also important. These things, the five things he said, these are arkan when it comes to, let's say, a married life. Let's say a family. And all of us have families. One of those things that he shared, one of the five pillars, was the idea that each member in a household, and by the way, I'm going to remind myself again, I remind all of you, that we're not looking to what other people should be doing. What should I be doing? What's my responsibility? I want to make sure that everybody else who's interacting with me, they're having this experience with me, that they feel, one of the arkan, appreciated, understood. The people who are interacting with me, those people, they make sure that I've made sure that I've done my responsibility. This person doesn't feel that if I'm here or not here, my contributions, my efforts, right? My job is to make sure the person feels understood, appreciated. And he says there's two things. One part of that is the idea of noticing, and I'm going to spend more time on this later, right? What are the efforts that this person, the other people, because I'm focused on my own responsibility, the other people in my life, the other people in my organization, the other mu'mineen and mu'minat who I'm interacting with, what are they doing that I can notice and appreciate? I notice what you're doing, I appreciate it, I want to spend some time on that. The second part, though, was not just that, to understand what the person's going through and then base my expectations for that person on their current situation. Okay. Let me give a couple of examples to see this part, because this isn't the main part of the discussion, but just let's say there is a husband and wife. Now my wife is pregnant. Before my wife was pregnant, I had certain expectations from her, certain things that I would say, this is part of the normal routine. I always, right? Are my expectations the same after she becomes pregnant? Right? What does pregnancy do to a woman's body? What are her hormones? What, right? If my expectation is the same, I haven't understood what she's going through. Let's say it's my children. I have an expectation when it comes to chores, for instance. When it comes to certain responsibilities, understanding the person, making the person feel understood. Let's say the person is going through an exam. I'm in finals. How much pressure is this? This exam matters. I'm taking the bar exam. For instance, some sort of exam, right? If I can change my expectations so that now I understand that right now, if you're more tense, for instance, I understand that. We're not saying it's right. But just understanding that, having those kind of expectations, based on this idea, this person is under pressure. Another example, let's say the husband of the family, the father of the family, let's say the family is going through financial difficulties. I'm the father, I'm supposed to provide. The wife now, the children now, they know right now is a time of a little bit of financial difficulty. Do I have the same financial expectations as I do during the good times? Or now I'm like, look, he's going through a difficult situation. I feel for him. I adjust my expectations accordingly. Now, this part of the discussion, the idea that my family members feel appreciated, understood, I get what they're going through, this has a lot of reward. I'm going to share one hadith about this because, again, this isn't the main topic tonight, but one hadith about this. There was a man who came to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salawat, please. Salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Again, we don't want to lose track of what we're talking about. The idea that the other family members feel understood, their situation, I get it. The man came to the Prophet and he said that I have a wonderful wife. Yeah? What's your wife like? The Prophet starts describing her to the Prophet. He said that when I come home, my wife walks to the door and she meets me at the door. She welcomes me in. As I'm leaving the house, my wife walks with me. She walks me to the door. He said, if my wife sees me worried, is the understanding part. My wife understands right now we're going through financial difficulty. It's true, your risk is in God's hands. You're making your effort, but right now the family's struggling. If she gets it, the wife's, this back to the description. My wife is like this. If she sees me worried, she says, what are you worried about? Is it your rizq? Are you worried about provisions? You're worried about the financial situation? She said, if that's what you're worried about, don't worry. Somebody else is taking care of that. That's God's job. Don't worry about it. I get it. Now I'm going to put a lot of pressure. Now you have to do this. No, I get it. She says, but the remainder of the hadith was this. But if you're worried about your akhirah, maybe you're worried about the akhirah. She said, if you're worried about your akhirah, may Allah increase you in worry. That's a wonderful, that's a good concern. When the Prophet heard this, he said, give her the good tidings of Jannah. Tell her that God has people amongst his creation who are workers of God. Right? She is an amila min ummalillah, doing the work of God on the earth. Every day she gets the reward of 70 shaheed. Right? So understanding, I get it. Right now, the situation financially is, I understand. My expectations are based on that. Now, having said that, the other part of this discussion was something else, right? I want to make sure the efforts of my family members, what they're doing for the family, if I'm in an organization, what the people are doing in the organization, my circle, that I notice the good that they're doing. I notice their efforts. It might not be perfect. It might not be exactly what I want, but I see and they feel appreciated. I see what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing. It makes a difference. You're a valued member of this family. So now, because again, we are talking about self-development, my question is, how important is recognizing what others are doing? How important is it for my own personal spiritual journey to Allah? I'm interacting with other mu'mineen and mu'minat. They're not perfect. They're making effort. They're trying. Me noticing, appreciating, encouraging, thanking. How important is that for my personal journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I want to make it. I want to make it on the ark. The idea that I notice, appreciate, encourage, how important is this? Now, I want to talk a little bit about that. So we'll start with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Remember, if this is done the way, like these five arkan, these rukun, this one in particular, the idea of feeling understood, if it's taken care of the way that Islam says, 70% of the problems that people face in their families will be eliminated. Right? But as Islam says, we're trying to understand how important this is for my personal journey to God as I move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many wonderful discussions in the Quran. One of the beautiful discussions in the Quran is the discussion about creation. It's one of the fascinating stories in the Quran, the story of creation. Over there are many interesting parts. One particular part is where God narrates a conversation between him and Iblis. Allah and Shaitan. What happens is, Allah, Shaitan was arrogant. Shaitan rejected God. When he rejected God, when he was arrogant, then God said, get out of heaven. When he said, get out of heaven, Shaitan said, can I get respite? God said, yes. And then Shaitan started to threaten God. Shaitan going to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over there in that conversation, he explained his strategic goals. Going to war with God. Now, one thing for us to keep in mind is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take shaitan as a serious threat. He's a real enemy. Ayat of Quran. The ayat of Quran is this. Surah 35, verse number 6. Inna shaitan lakum aduun. Truly, shaitan, Iblis, is an enemy for you. Fattakhidhuhu aduwa. You also take him as an enemy. When he says something, when he has a strategic goal for you, you take that seriously, you plan accordingly. You see, an experienced and cunning enemy will probe your defenses and look for the area that if I hit you here, right, this is your Achilles heel. If I can get this, I've won. Remember the Battle of Uhud? Just as an example, in the Battle of Uhud, our prophet is going to war with Quraysh for the second time. Quraysh bit off more than they could chew in the first battle, in the Battle of Badr. They lost people, they lost respect. This time they're coming for revenge. Now they're going to meet Rasulullah, but remember, Prophet Muhammad is a military genius. With him is Amirul Mu'mineen. With him is Hamza Sayyidul Shuhada. Now the Prophet got to Uhud before the enemy. He surveyed the terrain and he came up with an ironclad strategy. The only thing is you've got, Muslims, you've got to obey the strategy. Otherwise we can't lose. Among the enemy was a cunning and vicious man named Khalid bin al-Walid. And he probed the defenses of the Muslims, looking for that one area that I can wipe these guys out. And he realized there was a mountain pass. Unfortunately, the believers failed. We all know that story. Okay, so now what did Shaitan? Shaitan was having a conversation with God. In that conversation, which we read before in the Quran, Iblis says, I am going to attack Bani Adam. I'm going to get revenge. You misguided me? You'll see. I'm going to attack from the right, from the left. I'm going to do all these different things. Then he says something. What is his strategic goal? He says, Surah 7, verse number 17, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will not find most of them to be grateful. وَلَا تَجِدُ. You will not find أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. When will Shaitan declare victory? When humanity isn't grateful. Not when they don't make salat. Not when they don't make hajj. No, I'm going for the strategy. When do I say it's a victory? It's all over. Now, our question is this. Why is it that of all the areas to attack humanity, I'm talking right, left, front, back, why gratitude? Why is being ungrateful to God so serious? Now, there's a question that may come to your minds, and that is that, Sheikh, I love it, we're moving in the right direction, but we had a question initially. The question was, what does me personally noticing, appreciating, thanking others, what does that have to do with my personal spiritual journey to God, right? And now we're talking about gratitude to Allah. It's a wonderful question. Let's get back to that. So what happens is, why is it that Shaitan would go after gratitude of all the areas? But before we get to that, he threatened. What did God say? Shaitan says a lot of things. What did God say about Shaitan and about his victory? God says this in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse number 243. Inna Allah, truly Allah, لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ. God is very gracious, very kind to the people. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ.
Most of the people are not grateful. So we see here that Shaitan is winning. Right? Of course, for ourselves as believers, we know his strategy. We really have to, in our own personal lives, we kind of have to look back. Are there any areas where I'm not grateful and Shaitan is winning? How many times would it have been good for God to say that in the Quran? Three times in the Quran, God uses the exact same words. God has very kind to the people, but most of the people, la yashkurun, right? The concept is much more than that. The concept is more than that. But that word, these lines that I share with you, three times in the Quran, the exact same words. So, back to the question, why is ingratitude so serious? Brothers and sisters, this is one of the major sins. We have some dhunub, which are saghira. We have other words, kabira. Right? Kabira, we know if it's a kabira, if it's a major sin, if it's mentioned in the Quran and Allah threatens hell. One of the verses of the Quran that lets us know how serious it is, why Shaitan will go after this out of all the areas, is this. Thanking God, according to Quran, makes us muwahideen. We're not even worshiping him if we're not grateful. Ayat of Quran. Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, 172, God says this. Washkuru lillah. Thank God. Appreciate him. In kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. If it's truly only God that you worship, if you're a muwahid, not a mushrik, right? Iya, only him. Ta'budun, then in that case, then we have to thank God. There's something that Ayatollah Jawadi Amali mentioned. May Allah protect him and all of our maraja. He says that Shaitan is not just an enemy of the akhirah of the mu'mineen. That Shaitan's job is on the day of judgment, believers will all go into hell. In addition to that, he's an enemy of the dunya of mu'mineen. The second reason why Shaitan would put this much emphasis and focus on it is that it'll destroy our life in this world before the hereafter. Lack of gratitude. God says this in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you are grateful, then I will enhance you, I will increase you. You will be able to receive more of my goodness. If you are ungrateful, then my past chastisement is very painful. I'm going to share a few ahadith that we have from Ahlul Bayt, and we'll see that this is one of those sins where God doesn't wait for the hereafter. There are some sins, you don't do it, we don't know. We don't get that slap of God to wake us up. There are other sins that right here, God answers. Now, one of the hadith that I want to share is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says this, Asra'u dhunub, the quickest and most hasty of the sins, uqubatan, where God shows us right now, right here, he says, kufranu ni'ma. By the way, when God said in that verse of the Quran that inna adhabi la shadid, right? It's painful. I get you. You feel it. Your life is ruined. Sometimes people, they have areas in their life and they wish like they could tell there's something stuck here. Something's not opening. I'm doing everything, but there's just these knots. Sometimes when the person look, and this, each one of us have to look inward, I'm not grateful. So now, God said in the Quran, he says, "Inna adhabi la shadid." My punishment is severe. It doesn't, we learn from hadith, it doesn't have to be that God sends something from the outside. I didn't appreciate the house that I had. And so God sends a balaq. No, no, no. This is now from Imam Sadiq. He says this, "Inna Allah an'ama ala qawmin." There was a group of people, and God did bless them. They were living, favors, comfort. Falam yashkuru. Unfortunately, these people we're not grateful to God, God did this. Fasarat alayhim wabala. The blessings became a nightmare. Right? There's one time when I don't do it, so God burns my house down. Another time, no, I still have the blessing, but now the blessing is a nightmare. Another hadith, because people's lives get demolished by not being grateful. This is again from our prophet. He says this: Thalathatun min adh-dhunub. There are three types of sins. Tu'ajjalu uqubatuha wa la tu'akhkhar ila al-akhirah. There are three sins. If God forbid a person does these three, then God punishes right here and he doesn't wait until the hereafter. What are the three sins? One of them, uququl walidayn. If someone is not good to their parents, God will demolish their life. What else? Walbaghyu ala nas. Some people will oppress others. If I'm given a chance, I have power over others, I'll oppress them. I won't give them their rights. I won't. That's one of the things God punishes right here. What's the other one? Wa kufru al-ihsan. God blesses a person. He gives them ni'mah. Unfortunately, I'm ungrateful. I think it's no big deal. Right here in the dunya. Third thing. From the point of view of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, if someone isn't grateful, it'll literally turn them into a beast. A beast, an animal. There's a beautiful hadith. This is in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, Imam Sajjad. Over there, the Imam says that God, that praise be to God, God gave human beings the ma'rifah of hamd. Just the wisdom, the ma'rifah, to praise God, to thank God, to appreciate God. He says, if this didn't happen, the people would have used God's blessings. God would have been pouring all these blessings down on these people. They would have been enjoying these blessings, but they wouldn't have thanked God. If they didn't do that, what would have happened? Imam says, وَلَوْ كَانُوا كَذَلِكَ. If people were enjoying Allah's blessings, but they weren't grateful to him, he says, لَخَرَجُوا مِنْ حُدُودَ الْإِنسَانِيَّةِ. They would no longer be considered human. إِلَى حَدِّ الْبَهِيمِيَّةِ. They would become animals. فَكَانُوا كَمَا وَصَفَ فِي مُحْكَمِ كِتَابِهِ. They would be as God has described in the Quran, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are nothing but cattle. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. So what happens is, if someone, the way of the Ahlul Bayt now, is not someone who appreciates God, appreciates the blessings, notices them, isn't a person of shukr, real shukr, according to Ahlul Bayt, because we haven't gotten in. Is it something so simple? I just say, thanks, somebody, for instance, a family member, oh, thanks, I appreciate you, right? Somebody does, right? Is it just something that simple? Or is this much, much more? If someone's not like that, the way that, then, according to the Ahlul Bayt, this person is not even cattle. Right? And of course, now for ourselves, we want to just take that step and that pause. Right? Because God says in the Quran, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. There's a few of my servants who are truly grateful. Are we? Which side are we on? Has Shaitan and his junood, have they become victorious in our lives? Or are we people who are, right? What areas are we blessed with? What opportunities that we have to serve God that other people don't have? Could it be health a blessing? Could it be security? All right, now, alhamdulillah, living over here, I remember once I was watching a video of a Zionist soldier, ex-Zionist soldier. He was explaining that their job with the Palestinians is to make them feel the presence of the Zionist regime. He said, our job would be this. He said, we'd start at 4 a.m. in the morning. Imagine, brothers and sisters. At 4 a.m. in the morning, he said, we would know that this person has nothing to do with Hamas. And we would come in, storm that person's house, come in with commandos, put the women on one side, put the men on the other side, go check the rooms, waking up children. Imagine screaming, hijab, middle of the night, like 4 a.m. You weren't doing anything. He said, we would finish checking, arresting, whatever. Then we would leave that house and go to another house. And we would do that until the morning ended. That's how we met our presence felt. Right now, alhamdulillah, we're enjoying security. Right? What opportunity? How? A question for all of us. Me. How have I been blessed? What opportunities do I have to serve God? Areas where I could, maybe I'm not noticing some blessing that God has there, and I'm not noticing it, I'm not thanking Him for it, I'm not appreciating it. Now, back to our initial question, inshallah, the end of the talk. So we came to the conclusion of how important this idea is. We want to make sure we're doing this. But then we said that if this was established the right way, then it would solve 70% of problems in families if it was established that way. Imagine an organization that was like that, a family that was like that, a husband and wife who was like that, where they appreciated the other person. How serious, question, how serious or how does this affect my personal journey to God when there are believers around me and I'm not noticing what they've done for me? This hadith is from Imam Ridha. So he says that on the day of judgment, one of Allah's servants will be brought before him. Yu'ta bi'abdin yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of judgment, God will bring the servant before him. Fayuqafu bayna yaday Allah azza wa jal. This person will stand before Allah on the day of judgment. Fayu'maru bihi ilannar. فَيَأْمُرُ بِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. God will command that this person be taken to the fire. The person will protest. They'll say, this isn't fair. He will say, أَيْ رَبْ أَمَرْتَ بِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَقَدْ قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنِ. God, I'm going to hell? But I was a good person. قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنِ. I would recite, I'm a mu'min. What are you, why me? God gives this person the opportunity to explain. God, after they explain, then God says, but true, you did these things. You weren't grateful. You weren't grateful. The person again protests. He says, what do you mean I wasn't grateful? He says, Ay Rab, an amta alayya bikada fashakartu laka bikada. You gave me this blessing, you gave me this, and I was grateful. And then he'll start naming, but this instance you gave me a house, I was grateful, you gave me, I was grateful. The person's protesting. Again, God says, you're telling the truth, but he says that you didn't thank the means. You didn't appreciate the means. God says this, وَإِنِّي قَدْ آلَيْتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. I have sworn, I made a promise to myself. أَنْ لَا أَقْبَلْ شُكْرَ عَبْدٍ. That I would not accept the shukr of any abd لِنِعْمَةٍ عَنْعَمْتُهَا عَلَيْهِ. For any blessing that he had given. حَتَّى يَشْكُرَ مَنْ سَاقَهَا مِنْ خَلْقِي إِلَيْهِ. Until the person appreciated, noticed, thanked the person of my creation, who got that blessing to this person. So as we can see, if we want to thank God and stay away from this nightmare, then the idea would be that we've got to be very appreciative, noticing first, and then very appreciative of the blessings that we get through others. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we end first with a dua, and then after that, so first of all, Allah accept what was said and heard in His way and make us amongst the grateful. Inshallah, the Ahlul Bayt teach us the way that we're supposed to be when it comes to appreciating others, noticing, seeing the blessings. We ask that he accept what was said and heard in his way and make us the best soldiers of the Imam of the time. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Jazakallah, Sheikh. Just as another announcement, inshallah, please keep in touch with our social media. Our next program will not be next week, but it will be the Fatimiya programs, and inshallah, we'll be having the date and time sent out shortly. Thank you, Jazakallah, again, inshallah, we're among the grateful. Salu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء